women have a unique role in creation. Women are the nurturers, the birth givers, the more spiritual of the genders. And Torah teaches that women have a special status. Join Mashi Lipska for the next hour as she expounds the Torah wisdom specific to women. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Good evening. What a special time we find ourselves in Israel today, in Jerusalem, it's Purim. We had a Purim yesterday around the world, despite the fact that all around us, they stand up to destroy us. And the Eibishter Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matzileinu Miyadam, it's Him. He saves us. How do we connect with that idea? How do we stretch to that idea so that it carries us, surrounds us, protects us, and above all, gives us joy? We've spoken that Mishinichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, that when the month of Adar comes in, we increase in joy. Wow, what an Adar we've had so far. What does it mean that we do something to increase in joy? It's not that we are given the joy. Yes, there's an energy in this entire month of transformation. This is the month that was transformed, turned over from fear, from pain, from sorrow, from mourning, to jubilation, to ecstasy, to celebration. Wow. That means that from the very pain and difficulty came the celebration. From the darkness came the light. From the absence of the revelation of Hashem, as it were, from the absence of feeling His protection, suddenly it was just there overnight. Amazing when we read the Megillah and we see the sequence of events, how the first few chapters take place over many years, as it were, over 12 years or at least 9 years. And suddenly, what happens in one day, to God forbid, bring impending doom on the Jewish people within days. And then in a minute, everything becomes transformed from dark to light. V'nahapohu, it became transformed. What became transformed? The difficulty became transformed. Not just neutralized, but transformed. Let's look at the name of the parsha that we are reading at this time, that we have been reading during this week. In truth, the last many weeks, we've been reading about enslavement and then Exodus, about this incredible joy and suddenly being attacked by Amalek. Before that, we thought we were free, and Egypt pursued us. It's good, and then oyvei. It's good, and then now what? It's good, and Hashem, where are you, as it were? What is Hashem doing to us? And what is our part in transforming all of this? Our part are the key words. Who gives us the power to do it? Yes, Hashem gives us the power, but He gives us a leader. And so the last 2.5 weeks, we were reading about the instruction to build a tabernacle, a home for God, a place in our hearts where God can dwell when we listen to exactly what He says. And last week it continued, the priestly garments, doing things to specification according to Hashem's instruction. And then this week it continues, until we hear a story. It's not the chronological order. It's not the history in order. It actually comes previously, but we're hearing about it now. After we hear about the instruction, we're hearing about something that took place, and let's see what it was. Number one, the parsha is called Ki Tisa, or Tisa. Tisa means you shall elevate. The word Nasi is a leader, the president. Ki Tisa, who's Hashem speaking to? He's speaking to Moshe. He says, when you will uplift. What does it mean to uplift? He tells Moshe, take a census. Count the people. How? By getting them to contribute, each one, just the same contribution, a silver half shekel coin. Each one. Then you'll count the coins and you'll know how many there were. Interestingly, the coins were used for a united reason, and the coins that were collected at this census and in the future on from the beginning of the month of Adar were used to buy communal offerings daily in the morning and in the afternoon, the korban tamid, in which everybody had the same part. If you were rich, if you weren't rich, whoever you were, you had exactly the same number, the same contribution. Interestingly, it wasn't a whole shekel, but a half shekel coin. And when we look at it, it had to be made of silver. What is silver? In Hebrew, the word silver, kesef. And kesef shares a root with the word lichsof, to yearn. Where Lavan tells Yaakov, I know why you ran away, because nichsof, nichsafta. You yearn to go back to the house of your father. What is silver as opposed to gold? Silver is incomplete. Silver is yearning for something. I'm not yet there. And this half shekel signifies, number one, our yearning to connect with each other, our yearning to connect with Hashem. And that's why it's only half. Half meaning, I want to be complete, but I cannot be complete on my own. Only if I connect to Hashem, only if I hear what Hashem is saying, that is the path to completion. It's always a challenge. And the challenge is more often from within than from without. This half shekel, when the half shekel is joined to the other half shekel, then and only then can it be complete. And we're going to speak about that. Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, the epitome of half, the epitome of humility, the epitome of devotion to his people, is told, Tisa, when you will uplift, you're not just counting, you are actually through this, elevating the people, elevating them to connect with each other and connect with Hashem. In today's times, many nations think, and people think, that I am fine on my own. I can run my life. I can direct my country. It's what I think. It has to do with my power, my wealth, my army. And Moshe is telling the Jew, you are different. You're the half shekel. You are the half shekel of silver, of kesef, of yearning. And when you stay attached to that, you will be uplifted. The word tisa from the root nasi, a leader. You will be all that you're meant to be in this world, and it will bring you a great sense of completion, wholeness, focus, and joy. fascinating, this parsha, and there's a lot more. There's a lot more in the parsha because from this glorious beginning, and in the beginning, the instructions to finish what had to be done in the tabernacle to make it complete, the instructions to do what? Well, there were things to be done here. They had to still, after this instruction, Hashem told Moshe, you've got to make a vessel called the kior, vikano, the urn, and its base. It was a laver. It was like a big pot that had to be filled with water that had taps. And from that, the Kohanim would wash their hands and feet, put their hands on their feet, and hands would be washed and the feet at the same time. And that was preparation. That was sanctification before approaching to do any service outside or inside, whether to the altar or inside where the menorah would be lit, where the showbreads and the incense would be laid out, where the incense would be burnt. Wash hands and feet. Another thing that has to do with elevation. Everything about us, wash your hands, rinse off what's negative, elevate, sanctify, dedicate every part of yourself to a higher purpose. And also, how to make and how to use the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, the Keteres HaSamim, the incense made of all the spices, exactly to measure, only for use for the holy, according to what Hashem instructs. Then, beautifully, we have the mitzvah to keep Shabbos. In other words, everything has its time and place. Build the sanctuary, but not on Shabbos. Very beautiful. Very special. But following this, very quickly, in the Levi Aliyah, the second portion, the account of the incident of the golden calf, the building of, yes, an idol, because they thought Moshe was not coming back. How? What? When? Well, the Jewish people had been freed from exile. They had been given the Torah at Sinai. God had revealed himself as never before and never again at Sinai. And it was all too much for the Satan. God himself is teaching Moshe the entire Torah on Mount Sinai. And God's purpose in designating one nation to prepare this world to be his palace, his dwelling place, where he would be comfortable. Huge job, huge world, millions and billions of people and minerals and vegetables and animals and planets and stars and galaxies. How can human beings possibly do this? But they'd received the Torah, and they knew that if they stayed true to Torah, what would happen? They would carry out Hashem's purpose in creation, and the Satan would be out of a job. Because Moshe, the leader, the Jewish king, is unlike all other kings. What actually describes him, what actually he personifies, is humility, connection to Hashem and connection to his people, which is what we need to do. He shows us by example, total humility. It's not about you. Total connection to Hashem, total connection to one another, and to our purpose in this world. And the purpose is to make people count, to make others count, to be proud and confident leaders because we represent Hashem, and to yearn to connect to Hashem and to complete our mission in this world. The Sultan couldn't bear it. just under 40 days after the Torah was given, what did he do? He came to confuse the people. And it's all in the Megillah. We have Mordechai, who is like Moshe in his generation. We have the ray of Moshe, the energy of Moshe, ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dora v'dora, Moshe's leadership, Moshe's greatness comes about through the leader, the true leader, the humble leader in every generation. And what happened in the Megillah, that the people had strayed from their purpose. And the words used by Haman were, they are dispersed, they are separated. Dispersed and separated from being united with each other. Dispersed and separated from being united with Hashem. Under that comes, God forbid, all difficulty. When we are connected, then we are uplifted. And we are able to be joyous and carry out our mission. Look at our times. It's come through great, great difficulty, but we are Am Echad. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's the whole purpose. It goes like this. When you look at creation, God created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. He created rest. There are so many creations. Those that are revealed, those that are microscopic, those that are in the heavens like angels, souls, galaxies. This has a creator. And it all moves in beautiful rhythm, in synthesis, exactly the way the director wants it to move. And our job, we have to be the Am Echad. We have to show that although it seems that there are many, many nations, we are really God's children. We really have one purpose. There seem to be many different types of creations. They are all the Word of God bringing it in to being at this very second. The respect, the love, and the dedication to Torah will guide us as we maneuver our way through whatever God sends us in this world of hiddenness. And our job is to bring about unity, to reveal that Hashem Echad. No mountain, no valley, no star, no planet, no person, no sea, no angel is separate from him, ever was, ever will be. It started at creation. We saw it at Purim. It's happening now. The story of the Megillah is like two stories. The superficial line, the state of the world as we know it to be, what's happening in Iran, what's happening in Dubai, what's happening in Eretz Yisrael, what's happening the world as it seems to be to us, but the world as it really is, the story of Purim as it really was directed by Hashem, and that it's one with Hashem, and nothing, nothing can come outside of the purpose for which he sets it up. But he covers it. Why does he cover it? We look at the name of the Megillah. It means Megillah. From the word legalot, to reveal, Esther, from the word hidden. It's our job to reveal the hidden. And you can't reveal it till you search for it. And when you reveal it, you have Purim. When you reveal it, you have v'nahapochu, everything is transformed. Because klipa, the satan, the yetzer hara, the evil forces must do their job. They gotta scare us. Like in the desert when the Jews saw that Moshe was not back yet. Why wasn't he back yet? Because they miscalculated. They were unaware that Moshe said, I'll be back in 40 days, and Jewishly it's 40 full days. As creation started and it was evening and it was morning, he said, I'll be back in the morning of the 40th day. But of course, they counted wrong. And when the Satan saw an opportunity to make them waffle, to make them vacillate, what did he do? He actually engineered that it looked like it was Moshe's funeral up in heaven. He was able to cause the world to be in semi-darkness, and it looked like they were carrying the coffin of Moshe, and the people became very frightened. But the truth is, nothing had changed. It was their perception. Perception is in our minds. And they had leaders to tell them it wasn't like that. However, they had to do the work. And that was still ahead. And when we do the work, v'nahapochu, everything becomes transformed. When our hearts search, there's nothing that God won't reveal to us, because what was always there becomes revealed. Why does he plunge us into darkness? Like the sin of the golden calf. It's in order that we ourselves can be part of the process. There's certain constants, certain givens, that should remind us of God's eternity and reliability. Like the sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes up. It's a cycle. There will be day. After X amount of hours, there will be night. As Hashem said in the Torah after the flood, Lo yishbaisu, they will stop. And the seasons. And it's miracles, it's the hand of God, but we get used to it. And we have to realize, I am brand new today. Today is a gift that never was and never will be. We must use the moments. We must train ourselves to see the newness, not only when it's a big miracle, because the quiet miracles with which we live all the time reaffirm the presence of Hashem in the now. How do you develop this kind of sensitivity? Hashem tells us it's by studying the Torah, which opens our eyes, our hearts, our souls, and by practicing the mitzvot. The mitzvot are weapons. We don't realize tefillin cause a glory to rest upon the person who put on the tefillin even when he takes them off. And as it says, and the nations of the world will see that God's name is called upon you, and they will fear you. Not because you have an Uzi or a missile, but because Hashem yilachem lachem, God fights for us in ways that we don't even realize. The miracles that seem to be part of the normal, we have to remember. The word teva, nature, shares a root word with the name Elo, and then him, God's name. Why does he bring challenge upon us? Deeper darkness, deeper revelation. And after the sin of the golden calf, there was revelation. People realized what they didn't realize before. It came with difficulty. This is the cycle in exile. As we are spread to all four corners of the earth, and in every place there's something, a possibility of greater achievement, of deeper revelation. In the darkness there's challenge. How do we interact with this world? It has to be with that word, interact. We got to act. If God shows us something, we have to react. Every situation must be embraced or left on the side, but it must be acknowledged. And we have to have the courage to do beyond our comfort zone. The previous Rebbe explained that he suffered a lot in his life, and he was in jail 7 times in the previous Soviet Union. He was tortured in ways that are unbelievable. And he writes that the best times of his life were in the times of challenge. The deep, deep aspects of self and connection to God that are available there, yes, through pain and deprivation and limitation, all come from the kindness of Hashem. And we need to connect to the leader of the time when, after the golden calf, Moshe came down off the mountain and he had to take action. And there were different punishments for different people who had participated in the golden calf. Obviously, those who had been warned by witnesses and still blatantly went ahead and served it, one type of punishment. Those who hadn't been warned and still blatantly. But then there were those who inadvertently, and they could seek forgiveness and so on. But Moshe called out, Mila Hashem Eli, whoever is for God, come to me, follow me. Come to Moshe Rabbeinu, the teacher of Torah, Toras Moshe. Toras Moshe means the Torah is named for him, as it were, the Torah of truth. There's only one truth in the world. Connect with the Torah leader who can lead you, the king, the Jewish king of humility and greatness. And the tribe of Levi had not built the golden calf. They were a respected tribe, and they were given the mission of actually carrying out whatever punishment had to be meted out by the court. It wasn't meted out just randomly. Everybody was checked and examined and so on. Ah, this is a parsha of unity, the half shekel being uplifted. And the goal of being uplifted is not for arrogance. It's for unity. Moshe unifies the people. And then a man is chosen who's just 13 years old, and he's going to be the chief architect of the vessels, of the construction of the walls, of the construction of the sockets, the garments of the high priest, and he's from the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is the tribe of the king, Judah. His name is Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, who was a son of Miriam. Beautiful lineage. His grandfather had been killed, defending Moshe, defending God, telling the people, Moshe will soon be back, and they had killed him. He was one of the leaders, the great, great leaders who had been left by Moshe with Aaron to guide the people. And he, this 13-year-old, incredibly talented young man, was at the head of designing and fashioning the furniture and the garments of the holy priest, Miriam's great-grandson. And then with him was somebody called Oholiab ben Achisomach, and he came from the tribe of Dan, who was considered the last tribe, a tribe of one of the maids, second wives, as it were. Jacob had two primary wives and two secondary wives, and from top to bottom, with great skill and humility, they fashioned from the gold and silver and copper and beautiful materials that were requested, which all the people contributed. The tabernacle was built in unity, with humility, only together. When everyone gives the same and everybody gives from their heart, and everybody gives all that God has blessed them with, it brings the gift that is unique to Yidden, to Jewish people. We have unique Jewish leadership, the king, who's only there to serve the people and to unite them with Hashem. And that should be our leadership as well, to be an example of God's presence, a light unto the nations. And that brings us joy, because we know exactly who we are. We know that he sets us up to sin. And we will speak soon that sin, the sin of the golden calf and other sins, in a sense, were forced upon us. Yes, a whole discussion as to how. But challenge has to be seen as opportunity to rise higher. And that's why this is a month of Marbin Besimcha. What does that mean? Marbin, interesting word, which means we make more. Or we can say we become more. We grow only Besimcha. When we feel crushed, why did God do this to me? Why am I suffering? Why am I different to everyone else? We forget how much Hashem loves us and that He's directing every detail of our lives. But when we rise besimcha, we grow marbin. And this is the month with the energy that we can marbin, we can become so elevated, but only through joy. How do we feel so happy? The premise is Hashem Hu Ha'Elokim. God is nature. God is everything. And we'll see it in the Haftarah of this week, where the people came to realize and they called out, Hashem, transcendent God, Hu Ha'Elokim. We can point Him. That's Him. He is the God that we see in our lives, in nature. He's the force that runs the world. We may be rich or poor, man or woman, tall or short, gentle nature, loud nature, people's person, quiet person. God gave us a teva, a nature. That's by divine design, in order that we reveal God. Whatever we are needs to be drawn on and plowed back into the world. It's an incredible thing. So let's look at a beautiful thing about how to relate. Do we want to relate to the world? We want to relate. There is so much in terms of relating. We want to see God's shining face. We want to do our part. So let's look at what happens after the sin of the golden calf. Hashem has told Moshe, who's up in the heavens, He says, you better go down. He says, your people, the people that you took out of Egypt, have sinned. They've transgressed. And it was in those words that Hashem was saying, it's not actually the Jewish people, but the people who felt they wanted to join the Jewish people, because it was Amcha, He said to Moshe. They were not originally Jews, but when they saw where all the miracles were, where all the money was going, they said, wow, this is where we want to be. But as soon as there came a challenge, they fell apart. And Hashem said to Moshe, go down. And Moshe was coming down off the mountain with these beautiful sapphire tablets that God had fashioned and written, the ten, what we call commandments, the Aseret HaDibrot. And when he came closer, down off the mountain, he could hear the people having a wild party. And he understood something bad was going on. And Joshua spoke to Moshe. Joshua was waiting at the foot of the mountain all those 40 days. And they understood, he understood this was not a simple situation, but that the people were being disloyal to Hashem. And Moshe took a decision, and he smashed the luchos at the foot of the mountain. And one could think that he was angry, as it says there, its use of that word, and think he did the wrong thing. And just to point out that the very last words in the whole Torah, which we read on Simchas Torah, in the very last words, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, Asher Shibarta Leinei Kol Yisrael. The whole Torah ends with the tablets that you shattered in the eyes of all the people. Rashi explains the usage of the word is thank you for shattering them. Shattering the tablets, otherwise, God forbid, the Jewish nation would have been shattered, which we need to understand and apply to our lives, that difficulty is always a kindness of Hashem for the revelation of a greater kindness and taking away a deeper darkness in our lives, God forbid. So how do we relate? There are two ways we can relate in life. One, to be so happy with all the free things we're given, or to see the challenge, rise to the challenge, and make it our own. And that's what happened the second time. Moshe was told before he went up on the mountain, just a day later, to fashion another set of tablets of his own, and that God would write on them. And those tablets were never broken. They have endured until this day. The lesson for us is when something is given to us, it doesn't penetrate like something we worked for. We don't protect it like something we built. We have to relate to everything that comes our way and say, what is my part in this? You know, people always seek a peaceful life. When are things going to become normal? But Hashem doesn't want normal. Ultimately, Mashiach and the revelation then will be normal. Now it's day, but then the day is ending and the day is over, and then it's night, and the night is ending and I have to wake up. Hashem says, keep climbing. Every day is different. Life is a cycle. Everything is good. It's a spiral to take you higher and higher and higher. If you look closely, God is everywhere. No two leaves are ever the same. No two leaves were ever the same. No two people, no two snowflakes, no two days, no two minutes. Only Hashem. Hashem, ani havaya lo shinisi. I am God, I have not changed. We, from the moment we're born, we're aging. It's for us to uncover in the nature godliness. Creation is dynamic. We need to step up. We need to be dynamic as well. And you know, at the very end of the parsha, so much happens. Moshe Rabbeinu punishes the people, chastises the people, and he goes back up to the mountain with the second, still to be inscribed, set of tablets. And Moshe pleads for the people, pleads for the revelation of God to be amongst the people. And Hashem teaches him how to elevate the power that exists inside transgression and purifying ourselves and the world, purifying our thoughts, our speech, our action. There's something very beautiful that happens at the end of the parasha. So, as mentioned, Hashem himself had chiseled and then engraved the first set of tablets. And we're told it was out of the rocks on the mountain, Mount Sinai. And the second set, Hashem revealed to Moshe, under his tent was a sapphire quarry. Nevertheless, something incredible happens to Moshe after receiving the second set of tablets. And Moshe is up on the mountain for three sets of 40 days. And finally, after his third 40-day stay, Moshe descends off Mount Sinai, and it's actually Yom Kippur. And it's in the year 2449, which means, in truth, it's just months after the giving of the Torah, but they've crossed over Rosh Hashanah. And he's carrying this second set of tablets, which had replaced the first set that he had broken when he saw the Jews dancing around the golden calf. Now, Moshe's staying up on the mountain for three sets of 40, being in God's presence, we can't even imagine. It had left a lasting impression on his body, and his face now radiated light. And Moshe wasn't aware, it says, that the skin of his face had become radiant. This is where a certain artist made the mistake of thinking that Moshe had horns. God forbid that Jewish people have horns. Ki koran oir ponav, his skin on his face was shining, was radiant. And why the second set of luchos when he carried it down? And there's an interesting insight from the Rebbe. He says this was because when something is given to us from Hashem without our having to work for it, to earn it, it doesn't penetrate our being. It was no accident that the first tablets were broken and that the second never were. Because when we work for something, it can stay with us permanently. Something we just get, unearned, given to us, can be more easily lost. And because Moshe had actually chiseled that second set of tablets himself, their holiness could actually penetrate his physical body, and therefore his face, the skin on his face, shone. And that's a lesson for all of us. When we make effort in studying the Torah, fulfilling God's mitzvahs, no matter what it feels like for us, we no longer live in the shtetl where it's just what's done. But that refines even our physical bodies. If we really exert ourselves, says the Rebbe, to the point where the Torah will penetrate us, our faces glow. Wow, what a gift. And when we trust and we believe and we live our belief and we put in effort on Hashem's terms, we grow. We uncover successively higher and higher levels within ourselves and within the world. What we're seeing in Israel now is the result of the mitzvahs, the tilim, the tzedakah, the love, the unity, the trust of individuals which spiritually have empowered the leaders of the generation, but empowered Hashem to give us such tremendous, tremendous success and broadness, rechova. Not that we're that Mashiach has come yet, and not that there isn't difficulty and pain, and we plead that we should have the redemption bechesed uverachamim. It should come with mercy and kindness. And we see in the Megillah that when everything was transformed, the very things that bothered Haman, that we keep Torah, and we keep God's mitzvahs just because he said so, suddenly those things became sources of joy. And it says, from the difficulty to the Jews, there was oira v'simcha v'sosayim v'yikar, light and joy and rejoicing and honor. And our sages tell us, light is Torah. The Torah illuminates. Study illuminates. We need to know who we are. We need to know what to do. It doesn't help to try and hide. It didn't work. It never does. Simcha, that's when we keep Yontif because God said so in the way that he said so. Shabbos, Yontif. Sason, covenant of circumcision. Tefillin is Yikar, this honor. We need to understand we are not like any other nation. Yeshnoi Am Echad. There is power to the nation that has been uniquely gifted to bring the unity of God and reveal it in this world. We need to know that we're here on a mission. We need to know that there's incredible, incredible strengthening and gift given to us if only we do our part. And we do a little bit, and God does a tremendous amount. And I want to share a story that happened with the Rebbe. There was a couple who, with great, great difficulty and suffering, had finally left the Soviet Union. And they came to the Rebbe for a bracha, for a blessing. And in the Rebbe's room, the woman broke down and began to cry. Very caringly, the Rebbe asked, "Why are you crying?" "Oh," she said, "I just received a letter from my sister, who remains trapped in Russia. Her husband, who had been jailed, was just notified by the KGB that their family would never be given permission to leave the country." And the Rebbe said something that we have to take to heart. He said, "From the KGB's point of view, you too would still be living in Russia. So why are you here?" "Because Hashem performed a miracle and took you out of there." Now we need to absorb that. He was telling her, "Why do you think you are free? You too were trapped in that jail." And he said, "Although your sister might need a bigger miracle than your family did, do you think that for Hashem a big miracle is more difficult to perform than a small miracle?" Let's absorb that. The bottom line is that 6 months later, this woman's sister and the family were allowed to emigrate to the United States. We must not project our limitations on God. We may be limited creatures, but when we study the Torah and we get guidance from a Torah scholar, from a king, from a leader, and these are the people around us who God has put into our lives in order to give us guidance and direction, we need to understand that we are living in incredible times, and we need to seize the moment while it's still exile to do our part, to do as many mitzvahs as we can, because just now Mashiach will be here. And as a previous Rebbe says, we will yearn for these days because we will realize that with our small actions, how much we were able to achieve. And we want to look at mitzvahs now like they are diamonds lying all around us, and seize them. And don't leave one out, because the tremendous wealth of mitzvahs, power, sensitivity, which we get now but in the future, cannot be estimated. And here's another story that I think really resonates with us. So there was a man who came to visit the Rebbe. He came from France, and he was speaking about his own spiritual well-being. And he said, "Rebbe, whenever I think about myself and I reflect on my spiritual state, I become very unhappy with what I see. I feel like I can't achieve happiness based on what I see in myself." And the Rebbe said, "When you're unhappy, reflect upon the following. Reflect upon the fact that you are but a finite creature whom the Creator has given the privilege to be bound to Him through His mitzvahs." Let's remember, mitzvahs are commandments, but they're also mitzvahs, connection. "Joy, the joy that comes from stepping out of ourselves and into the infinite. It's stepping up, naso. It's our perspective. It's all in our minds. An extra mitzvah. Let our minds be our friends. Refine our thought, our speech, our action. It's not easy for Jewish people. We weren't born in the shtetl. If you're born in a shtetl and you have an upbringing where you're able to be nurtured and listened to and all the factors, it's still no guarantee, because Hashem leads our lives. Hashem has a roadmap for each individual, and He gives us what we look as the pluses and the minuses to equip us for our unique soul mission. But we've got to actually make Torah and mitzvahs our own. We are different. No two people are the same. What are we going to do now to make things our own? So there's a well-known story, and we might have shared it here, and it really does apply to us. There was a leading author who came to the Rebbe in the 50s, and he was bemoaning, he was commenting on the sad state of American Jewry. And this was after the Holocaust, and this was the thinking at that time was, you know, never again, and America is the golden Medina, and all of the other ideas that here we will all be equal. And people were assimilating, and he commented on it because it was so apparent. You know, 50 years earlier was different. The sensitivities were different. 100 years earlier, clearly, in the shtetl, the simplicity of the shtetl life had its tremendous benefits in making the people refined, sensitive, connected, concerned for one another. And here in America, everybody was, it was about me and my garden and my family and my car and my house and my job and the fence around my property. And the Rebbe said an amazing thing. He said, many religious people have despaired on the future of American Jewry. Why? Because they're looking at the present level of their Torah observance, which, in a sense, has its superficial aspect. It's what we can see. So he says, many religious people have despaired on the future of American Jewry, given their present level of Torah observance. I, however, says the Rebbe, am upbeat about American Jewry. He says, while you cannot tell them to do anything, you can teach them to do everything. And so it is and has become more and more in our times. People want to learn. This is a world now governed by choice. We need to offer wisdom, not impose wisdom. We need to be there to share the pearls, the gems that are Torah, that are mitzvahs. Every generation is different. Never has there been a generation of so much plenty, of so much opportunity, of so much choice. And that can either, God forbid, trip us, mislead us, or it can actually be used for the greatest growth and the greatest achievement and the greatest joy. The world we live in today, the modern world, not just America, but every single country in the 21st century, every single Western country certainly, is ripe and ready with people who want to learn, they want to grow, they want to be. It's an incredible thing when you make it your own. Then your face really, really shines. The face of Moshe Rabbeinu was shining because he made it his own. He made it himself. We have that opportunity because he lifts us up and he gives expression to our yearning. We yearn for completion. We have a kesef inside of us. Kesef, meaning yearning. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he helps us. When we give, when it's that half shekel, when it's the realization that we are only a half and we cannot be complete, like those American Jews that author was worried about, it can't just be about me and my, what we call Dalet Amos, my four cubits, my home, family, and small circle or bigger circle of friends. It's not about me. It's about the half that we need to make complete. Nobody is more than half. This half shekel expresses Jewish unity. Rich and poor, they just gave half a shekel, only half a shekel. And it's to teach us that we are just a half and can only achieve unity when we recognize that we're only a half. To be a complete shekel, we have to unite with our fellow. And also in our relationship with Hashem, we have to realize it's a partnership. We are half, as it were. And there's a beautiful teaching with which we'll end. Who are we? What are we? Hashem created us with 10 soul powers. 3 intellectual, 7 emotional. And sometimes we can think we're it. I have chokhmah, bina, das. I have wisdom, understanding, applied knowledge. Chesed, loving kindness. Gvura, restraint. Tiferes, compassion. I can have netzach, hoid, yisoid. Fortitude, endurance, hoid. I can have splendor, humility. Yisoid, connection. Wow, I'm great. And all that can channel into sovereignty. Well, that would be wonderful if we were able to do all of that. But our 10 soul powers parallel Hashem's 10 soul powers that he used in creating the world and that he continues to use in order to constantly recreate it. He is wise. He is kind. He is the one that enforces the rules. He is the king. And he's constant. And he's connected, and he's compassionate. And when we channel all our 10 soul powers, every nuance of our being, toward uniting with Hashem, emulating God, and toward fulfilling our divine mission, we align our soul powers with his attributes. And guess what happens? The 10 gera, which is the amount that a half shekel is, becomes 20. It becomes a whole shekel. And please God, we'll be able to draw inspiration. We'll be able to dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly in these last minutes of exile to strengthening one another, to strengthening our nation, our soldiers, to strengthen the purity in our hearts, the joy in our lives, and bring about lasting joy. Bechesed v'rachamim for all of mankind. Have a good day.